Up next, a well-known business owner is brutally attacked at work.
There was a lot of blood on the floor, on the walls, on the door.
Is it the work of a disgruntled employee?
No one trusted him. He leaves due to stress.
Or a robbery gone wrong.
I'd given her $1,000 the night she was killed. That $1,000 was never found.
A witness comes forward with a possible motive.
She made me promise that if anything happened to her, I'd go immediately to the police.
The evidence answers some questions and raises many more.
It didn't look planned. He just basically probably snapped.
For years, George Hansen and Mary Ann Clibbery ran Zulu's Remodeling as business partners in Loves Park, Illinois. And they were quite a pair. Their homespun television commercials helped make their business a success.
At Al Zulu's, the Don't Move and Improve folks,
where one call does it all.
Mary Ann ran the finance and business side. George ran the construction crew, the maintenance, buying the products, that sort of thing.
By 2004, Mary Ann told her partner she wanted to retire.
Very nice person, very kind. She'd do anything for anybody. But she wanted to, start enjoying life a little bit, to get the fruits of her labor.
A few days before the Christmas holiday, after everyone else had left, Mary Ann stayed late to go over the books. As she was about to lock up the office to leave, she was viciously attacked. The next morning, her partner, George Hansen, and another employee found Mary Ann's body when they arrived for work.
I saw all the blood around Mary Ann. I've never seen a dead body before, and nothing that horrible.
Paramedics pronounced her dead at the scene.
Every morning, I always went into her office to tell her to have a good day. And, of course, that's what you got back. And that's the last time I spoke to her.
She had substantial head injuries, and the pathologist determined that she had suffered at least 3 blows to the back of her head.
Crime scene technicians found some unusual clues. There was fresh blood on top of coagulated blood, which meant there were 2 separate altercations.
I could tell that she was hit in the hallway first, at least twice. And when she was down for a minimum of 15 minutes before he knelt on her back and beat her at least 2 more times.
Made you question why that person then would go back to her and beat her more.
Mary Ann's purse was missing, an indication the motive might have been robbery. But nothing else had been taken from the office.
We would expect anything of real value that individuals could carry would be missing. Nothing was missing from the business.
Mary Ann was a 69-year-old widow, the mother of 5 grown children.
I'm visually impaired. She was my eyes. She was my love, and she was my life. We had things to do. We weren't 2 old people sitting watching a clock go around.
In a search for suspects, investigators learned that the company recently fired an employee, Kevin Doyle, and his dislike for Mary Ann was well known.
No one trusted him, including Zulu employees. He was a former employee of Al Zulu's. He leaves due to stress, somewhat maybe of a nervous breakdown.
Doyle had a motive, and he still had keys to the building, making him the prime suspect.
Hi, I'm Mary Ann, and this is George, and we're from Al Zulu Remodeling Specialists.
Al Zulu's Remodeling was an institution in Loves Park, Illinois.
Al Zulu Remodeling has been a part of making your house a home.
Mary Ann was in some of the print advertising very early on in the business, kind of doing this Vanna White thing with the kitchen cabinets.
and Mary Ann Clibbery was well known in the community for her generosity.
She would advance employees' salary out of her own pocket, not the company money.
Investigators were convinced Mary Ann was killed by a client or a co-worker.
It had to be somebody who was somewhat familiar with the layout of the business.
The investigation centered on a disgruntled ex-employee, Kevin Doyle.
He was not a reputable person. I believe that he was a lot of talk, but couldn't perform. I believe he said things that weren't accurate. And I believe that he was not to be trusted.
When questioned, Doyle said he was at home sick at the time of the murder. But there was no one to back up his story. Kevin Doyle had no criminal record. But the day after the murder, he did something very strange.
Kevin shows up and offers his assistance to the family and how he himself can keep that business afloat. We're thinking, okay, we have a suspect here. You know, you hear so often the over-cooperative witness, so to speak. Well, that was Kevin.
Police also learned that Mary Ann and her business partner, George Hansen, never got along.
And there's always a challenge between the two because their personalities are so much different. They were always in conflict. She was always very elegant, talked very well, carried herself very well. He did not appear to be what I would call a strong, ethical, honest person.
They were business partners, and they had worked together for many, many years. She didn't realize that he was angry over the fact that Al Zullo had made her an equal partner to the business when he died.
George denied there were problems and said his relationship with Mary Ann was a good one.
When you have a business relationship, just like a marriage, you've got to get along. If you don't get along, break it off. And we got along great.
When questioned by police, George said he had an alibi for the time of the murder.
He had gone to have drinks with his wife. Then he took his daughter to some driving school and had gone to a tanning salon. And I believe maybe at that point he finally went home.
Then, the day after the murder, there was an unexpected development. A local resident called police to report seeing a black garbage bag on top of the ice on the Rock River, which was 5 miles from the murder scene.
What really brought it to their attention is not too long before that, there was a baby discovered in a garbage bag.
The fire department used a ladder truck to lift the bag from the ice.
It was a substantial project. Several men had to go down over the river in the ice, which is dangerous, and retrieve the bag.
Inside the black garbage bag was another plastic bag filled with a variety of items, a sweater, a hammer, leather gloves, and a purse containing Mary Ann Clibbery's identification.
I think when they found that bag, that connected everything.
Apparently, the killer threw the bag from the bridge, but missed the open water, and it landed on the ice instead.
If he looked over the bridge, he could take two or three steps and hit open water. How stupid can you be?
The sweater in the bag was covered in blood.
Was blood spatter inside the right sleeve, which goes along with the thought that at the scene that it was the right-hand person that hit her from behind.
Tests showed the blood was Mary Ann's. Employees recognized the sweater right away. It belonged to the original owner of the company, Al Zullo.
Mr. Zullo had this sweater for many, many years, and it was always in our office. So the people put it on too once in a while when it got cold.
Scientists looked for areas on the sweater that might contain skin cells.
I swabbed the collar of the sweater to determine the wear of the sweater.
Would these skin cells identify the killer? Police had two suspects in the murder of Mary Ann Clibbery: her business partner, George Hansen, and a disgruntled employee, Kevin Doyle. Forensic testing of the bloody sweater found in the discarded plastic bag with Marianne's personal belongings found skin cells on the collar. The skin cells provided a DNA profile.
When I analyzed the swabbing of the collar to determine the wearer, it matched George Hansen's profile, and it didn't match anybody else's profile.
But that didn't prove he was the killer. The sweater belonged to the original business owner, Al Zullo, and remained in the company closet. Other employees, in addition to George Hansen, occasionally wore it.
I started using the sweater in the wintertime, and I would wear it. And of course, other people put it on too once in a while when it got cold.
Then police discovered another bizarre piece of information. A forensic analysis of Marianne's coffee cup found a large amount of a prescription sleep medication. But Marianne hadn't been prescribed this medication.
Shortly after drinking some coffee, she became very ill. This also happened after eating salads.
She would fall asleep at her desk in the afternoons.
When police asked who had access to Marianne's food, only one name surfaced.
She would come in feeling fine in the mornings. George Hansen made it a point to hand deliver her her coffee.
Then Marianne's boyfriend told police about a possible motive. It was something Marianne told him about shortly before her death.
She made me promise to her that if anything happened to her, I'd go immediately to the police with my knowledge.
Marianne had sent out Christmas cards to some of the clients. A couple of these clients returned those cards back to the business with notes informing them, you know, of the problems that they were suffering.
These clients told Marianne they weren't getting paid, but internal company records showed they had been paid. Marianne did some amateur forensic accounting and learned that her business partner, George Hansen, was stealing from the company.
He was collecting money from the customers, and then he was depositing money in his own account.
Marianne discovered that George had stolen up to $100,000.
He was not only taking actual monies coming in, but also he had a little side business going where he would charge supplies through the Al Zullo company and use them for his personal projects.
Marianne was shocked to learn the company was in danger of bankruptcy.
I knew of it, but there's no way I could have told anyone. If I'd have told anyone, Marianne and my friendship would have been over immediately. I had to swear to her in secrecy.
According to her boyfriend, Marianne was going to confront Hansen on the afternoon of her murder.
Whenever they had a confrontation, they never did it in front of the employees. It was always behind closed doors.
I resent this.
We do know that they had some type of a meeting that day.
When questioned by police, George Hansen didn't deny he was stealing money, but said Marianne was in on it too.
I was depositing and we were splitting the money.
However, Marianne's financial record showed her transactions were consistent with the amount of her salary and nothing more. Jean Sundin was outraged by Hansen's accusation.
I knew he was lying. I knew he was lying. Lying through his teeth. He couldn't look at me.
And police soon found George had another possible motive.
If he did kill her and got away with it, then he would collect the $150,000 in insurance policy that he's had on the other. He was probably using this as a vehicle to generate the money to buy the business.
Then police got another tip. On the day after Marianne's murder, a witness saw a man on the bridge over the Rock River. The evidence from Marianne's murder was found later that day on the ice beneath this bridge.
The person who called the police saw this truck that kept driving by the bag, kind of like looking at it or trying to get it, and thought that that was just suspicious, so called the police.
This truck was distinctive. It had vanity license plates that spelled out Zullo, the name of Marianne and George's business. And George was the only person in the company whose vehicle had these plates.
What was so fascinating is when his car was searched, they found a large fishing lure, rope, and some other objects which would lead a person to believe that he was going to actually try to fish that bag from the bridge.
Investigators needed to look closer at the items inside that bag to see if anything would prove Hansen was the killer.
I did not kill Marianne.
From the beginning, police thought Marianne Clibbery was killed by someone she worked with.
That certainly helps our focus, knowing that this is an inside job, and that narrows the playing field down.
George Hansen had a motive. Marianne could prove he was stealing from the company.
She informed Hansen she was, in fact, going to go to the authorities over his business practices.
Scientists analyzed the plastic bag, which contained the weapon used in Marianne Clibbery's murder. They put it in a sealed chamber filled with cyanoacrylate, fumes from superglue. These fumes stick to the oils in human fingerprints.
I processed the items with fingerprint powder. This is just a fine black powder that I just dusted over the surface. The powder will adhere to the superglue developed fingerprints and make them visible.
They found three distinct fingerprints and one palm print. Those prints matched George Hansen. Investigators also found gloves inside the bag, covered with Marianne's blood. DNA tests of skin cells left in the gloves also matched George Hansen.
All of them had Marianne's blood on them, and the gloves and the sweater had George Hansen's DNA on them as well.
The DNA was proof George was wearing the sweater and the gloves as the fatal blows were struck. And investigators found the source of the prescription sleep medication found in Marianne's coffee cup.
We tracked down Mr. Hansen's sister, who signed a statement stating that she was sending him these pills. In return, he would give her like $25 a month.
George Hansen was arrested and charged with murder. Prosecutors believe the motive was financial.
They want to buy the business and have the money, and so he's going to collect some insurance money on her as a business partnership and inherit the business or buy the business out, and their life goes on.
Prosecutors believe Marianne waited until all the employees left before confronting Hansen with the evidence of embezzlement.
And while I see entries in your handwriting, the clients clearly haven't been...
Well, I've been paid. Of course they've been paid.
She estimated he stole more than $100,000 from the company. He could either pay the money back or Marianne was going to report him to police. Hansen, however, chose another option, murder. As Marianne was about to walk out through the back door, Hansen struck her in the head with a hammer. While Hansen staged the scene to look like a robbery, he discovered that Marianne wasn't dead, so he struck her again, creating more blood spatter on top of the coagulated blood, proof of two separate beatings. He put his sweater, gloves, and the hammer, along with Marianne's purse, into the bag. On his way home, he dropped the bag into the river. But it was winter time, and he missed the open water by about 5 feet, and it landed on the ice.
I'd like to have seen his face when that bag hit the ice and he heard a large plunk instead of a splash.
The theory was to drop the bag into the water and have it float away.
Later, a witness saw Hansen's car driving back and forth over the Rock River Bridge, most likely contemplating how to retrieve the bag he tried to throw into the river. Once in custody, Hansen changed his story. He denied killing Marianne, but admitted to a cover-up. He said he found Marianne's body when he first got to work, thought he'd be blamed for her murder, so he removed the items that belonged to him from the scene.
That's where I goofed up, really. I saw a hammer and gloves there, which were mine. I saw all the blood around Mary Ann. I panicked. I didn't call 911. And I picked everything up, put them in a bag, and left.
But the jury didn't believe it. George Hansen was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to 60 years in prison.
I'm in here for the rest of my life.
It took longer for the jury to pick a foreman than it did to come back with a guilty verdict.
Hi, I'm Mary Ann, and this is George of Al Zula Remodeling Specialists. And while the boss is away, we will pay.
We will give you a 5% discount on any new interior.
What was once a prosperous enterprise ended in deception and murder. But forensic evidence and Mother Nature helped solve the mystery.
What are the odds of going to a river with the intent to sink a bag and have it hit solid ice? Knowing that you've already cased the river out, knowing that it's wide open body of water, except for a few feet on each side, and he accidentally drops it in the wrong place.
If George wasn't so dumb, we wouldn't have found it. It'd have been a lot tougher case to deal with.
George was banking on the fact that he had no witnesses.
You know, not just the blood spatter, but the fingerprints. And then, you know, the DNA off the sweater. All of those things that kind of pointed back toward George Hansen.